Father, now we come and ask that you would indeed be good to us, that you would grant to us your Holy Spirit who writes the preached word into our hearts. We ask that we would be enabled by your Spirit to receive and to believe your word, to be cheered and comforted by it in eternity. We ask that you would glorify your word in our hearts and that you would make it so bright and warm, that we would find pleasure in your word. Through your Holy Spirit, think what is right, and by your power, put into practice the things that we hear. We pray this for your glory and in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. You'll turn in your Bibles now to the book of Romans and chapter 5. We'll be looking at a number of verses in Romans, but primarily looking at that passage that we studied last Lord's Day, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. You can learn some very important truths from things that are said by the way. Statements that are not strictly part of the subject at hand. For instance, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The subject at hand is that God created everything that is. But by the way, you also learn that God has always existed. In the beginning, God. We can apply this same technique to what Paul says here in Romans 5, and in doing so, we can discover so much of who we are as God's friends. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Oh, by the way, look at who our God is. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul has no problem speaking of one God in three persons, a blessed Trinity. He speaks of God the Father. Verse 1, we have peace with God. Verse 2, we put our hope in the glory of God. Verse 5, we experience the love of God. And Paul knows that this God has revealed himself to us as the Father. He begins the letter that way. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, chapter 6, verse 4. Paul says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And then he comes to the end of the book, chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. As Christians, we pray to our Father who art in heaven. But Paul also speaks of God the Son. Back to chapter 5, he doesn't say it until verse 10, but he says it. Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled we will be saved by his life. And in chapter 5, what we find is that Paul refers to God's Son as the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in chapter 5, in fact, he uses this title. He begins the chapter that way. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says it again in verse 11. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He concludes the chapter in the same way, verse 21. As sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. This word, Lord, represents a Greek word that is used throughout the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. The word Lord, signifying God, and Paul uses it that way. In Romans 10, verse 13, where he's quoting from the prophet Joel, he says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then back up to verse 9, Paul has just said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Clearly, Paul is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, to be God's Son, God Himself. And then Paul speaks of God the Spirit in chapter 5, referring to that the love of God being poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. By the way, Paul says this is who our God is. There is but one only, the living and true God. But there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. This is why the Apostles' Creed is Trinitarian. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You can look at that if you want. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is on this side, right? I have to remember. I believe in the Holy Spirit is Trinitarian. This is why we sing the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Son is not an it. The Father is not an it. What does the it refer to? It's that Trinitarian relationship of love that has always existed between Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as the Trinity has always been. It always will be. And so Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, we now have peace with God. But by the way, notice who this God is that we have peace with. One true living God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right, again our text. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by grace into this, by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And by the way, notice how completely we are being saved by God. God's grace reaches far back into our past. Therefore, having been justified, the history of our past behavior gone, our record of everything that we've done wrong wiped clean, all of our guilt, all of our failures, all that we have done in the past that is shameful, it is obliterated. And this is why Paul quotes those words from Psalm 32, back in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Moralism, just trying to do good, legalism, can never touch what you've done in the past. You can never go back and undo the bad things that you have done. You could wish to live life over again, to do things over. You could wish to make amends somehow. You could wish, or you could even try to make things up. But it never erases what you've done in the past. But God justifies the ungodly. He forgives our past. And in Christ, He makes us absolutely clean. As if we had never sinned. God's grace reaches forward, far into the future, our destiny. What becomes of us in the years to come? What becomes of us in eternity? Verse 2, he says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul is now looking to the future, as to the grace of God, that future grace that God will show to us. The resurrection of the body, what we call theologically glorification. Look at Romans 8, verse 30. Just an amazing statement that Paul writes. Romans 8, verse 30. He talks about those whom God has predestined. These he has also called. These whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Everything there that Paul is talking about took place in the past. They're all past tense. We were predestined before the foundations of the world. We were called in the past. At some point in our past, we were effectually called by God's Spirit and regenerated. We were given the gift of faith. We believed. We were justified. All of that has taken place in the past. But the last thing that he mentions, glorified, he puts in the past tense. For us, it hasn't happened yet. We're not yet glorified, but in God's mind, it has already been accomplished. God's grace reaches into the future. It is a certainty that Paul talks about, that we will be glorified. And then God's grace reaches to where we are right now. Paul refers in verse 2 to that grace. We have this introduction by faith into the grace of God in which we now stand. It's not that God just forgives our past and then promises a glorious future that leaves us on our own here in the present time. What Paul says is, here and now, we stand with God, in the presence of God, in this grace that He has showered upon us. Here and now, today, even though surrounded by troubles and griefs, we stand in the presence of God. We stand in a safe place with God Himself. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Paul just wants to tell us about the results of justification. But by the way, look how completely the believer is saved. Oh, by the way, look at the wonderful gifts that God has for us. These five verses, we find the familiar triad of faith, hope, and love that we find so frequently, repeated so frequently in the New Testament. The gift of faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, verse 1. And then verse 2, we have access into God's gracious presence by faith. Paul has just given us this great illustration of faith in Romans chapter 4. About Abraham. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, and yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. The theme of Romans is this gift of faith that God gives to us, the gift of life that comes through faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith. It never switches over to works. It's always by faith, as it is written, but the righteous by faith shall live. There's the gift of hope. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Abraham enjoyed this gift in hope against hope, he believed. We enjoy this gift even though we're surrounded by those problems and perplexities and difficulties of life, and we find this to be a world of grief. Paul says all of that simply works to make our sense of hope even stronger. We rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character strengthens our hope. And then the gift of love. The love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. God proves that He loves us by giving His Spirit to live within us. We believe only because God gives us something to believe in. We hope because God gives us something to put our hope in. We love because God first loved us. Faith, hope, love. What wonderful gifts of grace that God showers upon His people. One last time, by the way, look at the change that God makes in us. Not only the spiritual gifts of faith, hope, and love, but also God works in us that spiritual fruit of peace, joy, and love. Galatians 5, as Paul begins that list of the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, the very qualities that are mentioned here in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's that objective peace that God establishes with us. And when God creates that peace, He fills us with a deep longing to be at peace with people around us and to be at peace within ourselves. That objective peace that we experience from God causes us to experience that subjective sense of peace. This is why we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is why Paul tells us in Romans 12, if possible, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Love, joy. God Himself is full of joy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Joy is an attribute of God. It's a characteristic of God. It, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. It's that loving friendship and fellowship and communion that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have enjoyed for all eternity. God enjoys being God. God Himself is joyful. He created us in His image to be joyful. The thing that fights against true joy is sin. To be recreated by God into the image of Christ is to have that sense of joy restored to us. He says it 3 times in these first 11 verses. Verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only this, but we rejoice in our tribulations. Verse 11, not only this, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then Romans 15, verse 13. One of Paul's benedictions. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with all joy and peace. Love, joy, peace. And again, when God pours out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that love then flows, overflows into the lives of others. The sum of the 10 commandments is to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love, joy, peace. The change that God Himself is working in His people. And this change becomes the evidence then that we are His people. Are you a peacemaker? Are you trying to cause trouble, or are you trying to make peace with those around you? Joy. Are you experiencing joy? Even in the midst of troubles and perplexities of life, to be able to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Loving God and loving your neighbor as yourselves. These are some of the evidences that we can look at to see that we are God's children. Now, Paul didn't set out to write any of this. This is not the purpose of the passage. When he is writing Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, he's not thinking in his mind, well, these Roman Christians, they need to know something about the Trinity. Or they need to know something about the fruit of the Spirit. His primary purpose in writing these words is to show us the freedom that we enjoy because we are the friends of God, the results of justification. But by the way, look at all of this that is true of us as the friends of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would take these five verses from Romans 5 and impress them upon our hearts. That you would continue to send your Holy Spirit and to pour out your own love in our hearts, giving us this sure and certain knowledge of who you are, how completely you are saving us, the grace that you work in us, the spiritual fruit that you produce within our lives. We pray that you would use this word for our sanctification, our growth in grace, our nourishment. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.